Excellent. Well, good morning and welcome. For those of you who are with us for the first time, we're really glad to have you. My name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And right now we are in the middle of this conversation called direction. And we're looking at one of the greatest stress producers in our lives, the future. And specifically the fact that no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we work, we cannot predict the future. It is simply filled with too many uncontrolled variables. And no matter how much we'd like to tell ourselves that we know the future, no matter how much we'd like to tell ourselves that we can figure it out, the reality is we can't. And yet every day we have to make decisions about our direction, as if we do. We have to make decisions about our direction as if we know what's coming, as if we can predict what's coming, while all the while knowing that we can't. So how do you live like that? Last week we began this conversation, we looked at this weight that we live with, but then we also looked at this incredible dream that the scriptures present us with, that we don't have to live that way anymore. That we don't have to live with that weight anymore. And we looked at the perspective, this amazing perspective that David has, King David, the ancient king of the nation of Israel, that he has on the future. And what is probably one of the most famous passages in all of the scripture. I want to take us back to it again this morning to remind us of that dream, to remind us of his perspective. And again, this passage is incredibly popular, and so sometimes familiarity will cause something to lose its power. But as we walk through this series, we're going to come back to it over and over and over again and try to regain the power in this passage that once made it so popular. Psalm 23. This is David as he's looking at and talking about his engagement with the future. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We live with this incredible weight of trying to be able to figure out the future and where are we supposed to go and how is this supposed to look? And you hear all those questions in the video. Am I supposed to take this job? What relationship should I be in? All of these questions that consume us about the future. And then you come to Psalm 23. And one of the reasons why Psalm 23 became as famous as it did, as popular as it is because of the fact that in Psalm 23, David presents us with something that we all long for. To be able to take off that weight. And David says, "I don't move into the future with worry. I don't move into the future consumed by what's going to happen. I understand that there are going to be enemies, and I understand that there are going to be valleys that are shadowed with death. But I move into it with confidence and security." He moves into it in a way that very few of us do. I move into it with confidence and security. Why? Because I have a shepherd. And last week, as we began this conversation, we looked at that, how as Jesus steps into our lives, he doesn't step in and say, "Let me tell you the future." He doesn't step in and say, "I'm going to lay this all out for you. I'm going to explain the future for you so that you can make the right decision." He doesn't do that. He steps in and he presents us with exactly what David found, which is this: "I want to be your shepherd. And it's not for you to know where we're going or how we're going to get there." Because if we were honest with ourselves, we can't handle that. So it's not for you to know that. But you can trust me. You can trust me that I will lead you into the future for which you were created. That I will lead you into a life that is full and satisfying. We saw this in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, Jesus is talking about the relationship that he wants to have with us, the way in which he wants to engage us and for us to engage him. And he's telling this story, and he says this. He says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his flock, and here, for me, this is the dream of John chapter 10. He says, after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. He says, this is what I want to do for you. This is how I want for you to be able to experience me and for me to experience you. He says, I want for you to be able to follow me into the future. I want for you to be able, not to know the future, but I want for you to be able to follow me through what I know and you don't. And he comes to us with this incredible, incredible dream. And he calls us to follow him, not just because he knows the future. He doesn't just say, oh, you should follow me. I'm calling you to follow me because I know the future. But listen to how he ends this conversation with his followers. He says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and to destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. He doesn't say, I just want you to follow me because I know the future. He says, I want you to follow me because you can trust me. Because I'm leading you into the life for which you were created, a rich and satisfying life. That doesn't mean, just like David talked about, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be enemies. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be valleys that are shadowed with death. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be peaches and cream. But it does mean that you can walk through it with confidence and security. And you can know that what will result from it will be rich and satisfying. Another translation says that he's calling us into an abundant life. An abundant life. And so he calls us to follow him. And specifically, and this is where I want us to focus in today, specifically as he's walking them through this in John chapter 10, specifically to be able to learn his voice. How is it that they're going to follow him? Let me take you back to that dream again. He walks ahead of them and they follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. But how do you do that? How do you begin to learn his voice? How do you begin to discern his voice, especially in the midst of the myriad of voices that are in our lives? And we don't talk about it out loud very often because it makes us sound crazy, but the reality is that all of us have a myriad of voices in our lives. And on any given day, there are a myriad of voices that are speaking in our heads. Is that not true for you? You're not going to acknowledge it in public. Okay, I understand that. Some of you have more voices than others, which you should see someone about. But there are a myriad of voices in our lives and in our minds, and our parents' voice is there. And for some of us, that's encouraging. For others of us, that's incredibly destructive. There are the voices of past relationships. There are the voices of past friendships. There are the voices of our fears, the voices of our dreams. And on any given moment, as we're walking into any given decision, and we talked about this in the Fearless series, all of these voices are trying to speak into that decision. And then Jesus comes along, and Jesus says, when you place your faith in me, for those of you who are here and you're trying to see, what is this whole Jesus thing about? The message of Jesus Christ is that you could be reconciled with God, not because of what you've done or because of the fact that you're going to live a perfect life. The scriptures say that God was in Jesus reconciling you to the Father, no longer counting your sins against them because of what Jesus did on that cross, that you could be reunited with the Father because Jesus gave his life to take the penalty for your sin, to take the penalty for everything that you've done, to spit in the face of God, for everything that you've done to hurt those around you. And he says, listen, if you'll come to me, not only can you be forgiven, Not only can you be reunited with the Father, not only will you be adopted into his family, but he says, when you come to me, I'm going to put my spirit within you. I'm going to send my spirit to be your companion. And you are going to be able to walk with him for the rest of your life. And he is going to lead and guide you into the future. Jesus specifically says to his disciples, he says, I have to go because I want to do something greater than I could do if I stay here. So I'm going to go, but make no mistake about it. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send to you a companion that will lead you and guide you into the future. And to remind you of what I've taught you, to remind you of what's true. Jesus comes to us and says, not only have I made it possible for you to be forgiven and reunited with the Father, but I've come so that you could have a companion to do exactly what he's talking about in this passage, to be your shepherd, to lead you into the future that I've created for you. But how do you learn his voice? Now, it used to be that when people would ask me this question, I would do exactly what most of you would do this morning. Because if I were to go around this room and to ask you individually, okay, how do you learn Jesus' voice? Almost all of us would respond the exact same way. There would be about a minute and a half pause, and then we would say, I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. And for most of my life, I felt exactly the same way. I felt that I had learned how to be able to discern his voice in my life, but I couldn't teach someone how that had happened or what had allowed that to happen in my life. But then as I was preparing for this series and as I was just spending time with Psalm 23 and John chapter 10 and just asking God, okay, what does this look like? How do we actually do this? You've presented us with this dream that this is possible, that you want to be our shepherd and lead us into the future, but then how do we learn your voice? And in the midst of that, he brought me back to a conversation that I'd had with someone just a couple weeks earlier. And once again, I found myself in a situation where the answer was far simpler than I had thought. But we do this with the scriptures all the time. We come to the scriptures and we treat it unlike any other book. And we interact with it like it's this mystical thing that's out there and it's this magic book and we divorce it from reality. If you go back and you listen to our series on the book of Acts, where we're walking through the entire book of Acts, it's called This Crazy Book. We're doing it over multiple years. If you go back and you look at that series, you hear us talking about it over and over and over again, how we treat the Bible differently. We divorce it from the world around us, even though Jesus has worked very hard to be able to take the spiritual things of the world and to explain them in earthly terms, even though he's worked hard to help us understand them, we divorce it from reality, and therefore we struggle to be able to understand it. We do this all the time as we're reading through God's word, where because we look at it as magical and mystical, because we divorce it from reality, there's something there that we know and we understand, but we miss it, even though it's right in front of us. Now, as I was working through this passage and asking, okay, what in the world does this look like? God brought me back to a conversation that I had had with my assistant who recently came on board here at Hoboken Grace. And it was interesting because I'm working through, okay, how do I understand God's voice? How do we learn how to understand his voice? And then it hit me that I had actually had conversations about this with actually two individuals just shortly before that. The first one had to do with my assistant. And as she was coming on board, one of the things that she wanted to be able to do is that she wanted to be able to respond to emails in a similar way as to what I would respond to them. And so she wanted to learn how I responded to people. She wanted to learn how I interacted with people. She wanted to learn the terminology that I would use and the tone that I would use. And so one of the things that she did is she went back and she read through an entire month of my email responses to people. She read through every single one of them. because she wanted to learn, okay, how does he respond? It was interesting, too, because we recently had someone come on board as part of our communications team. And one of the very first things that we did when she came on board is that we said, we want you to go back and look over the past year of our social media posts. We want you to read through the past year of our social media posts, and we want for you to be able to look at all of the different ways in which you've communicated series here at Hoboken Grace, and the artwork that we've used and things like that. We want you to go back and look over the past year. Now, why did she go back and read through those emails? Why did our communications person go back and read through those social media posts? Because they wanted to learn what? Our voice. They wanted to learn our voice. She wanted to learn my voice. The reality is, this idea of voice is something that we talk about in the business world all the time. All the time. Some of you work in marketing. Your entire job is learning a company's voice, being able to discern it. Some of you work, and your job is literally to put together books that capture the voice of this company, of this organization, the way in which they communicate with people, the way in which they respond to people, what it is that they prioritize, the feel of what it is that they want to communicate. You're constantly working to understand it and to be able to teach it. We understand this. This isn't something that's distant. This isn't something that we're unfamiliar with. We understand voice. Not only do we understand it in terms of business, we understand it in terms of people. For most of you, when I walked on stage, you didn't have to see me to know it was me. And if Anthony were to walk on stage, the person who walked us through our announcements today, you wouldn't have to see him to know that it was him. You could very easily discern between the two of us. You don't need to see us in any way, shape, or form. Why? Because you know our voice. You're familiar with our voice. Not only are you familiar with our voice in terms of the tone and inflection with which we speak, you're also familiar with it in terms of the content that we share or the way that we share it. So if you got an email from Anthony and it didn't have a joke in it, you would know immediately, this isn't from Anthony. If you got an email from me and it had a joke in it, you would know this isn't from Chris. It's not just the tone and the inflection. It's also the content. You're familiar with it. The more familiar you become with a voice, the easier you can detect an imitation. We understand the idea of voice. And we have the ability to become incredibly familiar with a voice, so much so that we can pick it out in the midst of a crowd. A couple of years ago, I was listening to an interview. In the 1990s, there was an incredible basketball team. And I know this is a poor illustration for some of you, but it captures it so well. In the 1990s, there was an incredible basketball team named the Detroit Pistons. Yeah, there's like one fan here. And I was a Chicago Bulls fan, so I hated the Pistons of the 90s. But there were these two guards who played for the Detroit Pistons, two Hall of Fame guards. And they'd played together for a very, very, very long time. They became two of the most dominant teammates that the NBA has ever seen. Their names are Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars. And I was listening to an interview of Joe Dumars, and he was talking about their ability to be able to play together. And he was talking about the significance of playing together for so long, over so many years. He said it was amazing. We'd played together so much that we could be in the midst of a crowded arena in a playoff environment with everyone screaming. And he says, I swear I could hear Isaiah whisper from across the court. In the midst of that environment, because I had so tuned in to his voice, It didn't matter how many people there were, and it didn't matter how loud it was. I could hear him whisper from across the floor. Now, some of you say, that's crazy. If you think that's crazy, then here's what you do. Go with a parent into a room of screaming toddlers. Do this. Go with a parent. If you're a parent, you already know this. But if you aren't, go with a parent into the midst of a room of screaming babies or screaming toddlers. All of them can be screaming, and the parent can tell you immediately whether or not their child's one of them. Immediately. And not only can they tell you whether or not their child's one of them, they can tell you whether that is an actual cry or a fake cry or an I want attention cry. And it doesn't matter how many babies there are. It doesn't matter how many voices there are. They are so attuned to that voice that they can pick it out anytime, anywhere. We understand voice. We understand it. We live it every single day. We understand being able to pick it out. We understand being able to discern it. We understand how to be able to tune it in and to be able to tune it out. We have an incredible ability to be able to tune in a voice and to be able to tune out a voice. This is what allows you to be able to ignore your spouse screaming at you from 2 feet away, even though the TV is on medium volume. And you really didn't hear her. Because you have learned how to tune it out. And yet there are other voices that I can just whisper, and immediately you hear them, and immediately you know them. This idea of voice is not something that's distant to us. Because of the fact that it's in God's word, we've made it into this thing. Oh, I can't really understand that. No. You understand it. We understand it. We get it. We know what that looks like. So then how do you learn someone's voice? How do you do that? Well, exactly what we talked about with the assistant and with the communications person. If you want to know someone's voice, you must consistently and constantly expose yourself to it. Either it's active or it's past communication. Well, that changes the way we look at the scriptures a little bit, doesn't it? What if the scriptures weren't just given to communicate truth? What if they're also given to help you become familiar with a voice? The scriptures say that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. In other words, the word of God is effective when it's used by the Spirit of God that lives within you. That the tool that the Spirit uses in your life is his word. And one of the things that God wants to do in your life using his word is to help you become familiar with his voice, so that as the Spirit speaks into your life, and as the Spirit speaks into that question, and as the Spirit speaks into that moment, that you'll be able to know it and have confidence in it, because you know whether or not it fits. You know whether or not it's consistent. And this has to do with a variety of different things. First and foremost, it has to do with content. And so when that voice speaks into your life and you know that the content doesn't fit the content of scriptures, then you know that it's not the right voice. People will come to me and say, listen, I think that God's called me to leave my spouse. Well, no, he didn't. Well, how can you say he didn't? Because it's inconsistent with the content of Scripture. Therefore, I can tell you right now, you're listening to the wrong voice. It's inconsistent with the content. But it's not just about the content. It also has to do with the tone. It has to do with the personality. It has to do with the way in which Jesus engages us. Sometimes people will come to me and say, oh, God's just beating me over the head right now. And it's interesting because Jesus sometimes does have a very intense nature of presenting truth. But it's almost always with a very consistent group of people. It's almost always with hypocritical people. It's almost always with self-righteous people. It's very, very seldom, if not completely absent from those who are repentant and coming to God, struggling with sin. Almost never. So one of the things I walk through is, what's the voice in your life? Is the voice in your life driving you to guilt? Because Jesus' voice does not drive people to guilt. Jesus' voice drives people to grace. So where is this voice driving you to? Because you can begin to, the more you become consistent with scriptures, right? There's not just content, but there's principle. And then there's also, the scriptures say, no. Our communication must be clothed in the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit isn't going to contradict his own fruit. So is it loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, gentle? I had a conversation with someone the other day and we're working through something difficult, and I said, it's really difficult for me to be able to receive what you're saying as being from God because there's no fruit of the Spirit in this conversation. There's no kindness or gentleness or love. And the scriptures say, even if we know everything, even though if we have all the right answers, but we're not loving, we amount to nothing at all. So I don't understand where this doesn't fit with the voice of Jesus. But in order to be able to discern that, what must we do? We must become incredibly familiar with God's word. David, the person who gave us the dream of Psalm 23, over and over again throughout the Psalms, you know what he celebrates? He celebrates God's word. He's passionate about taking in God's word. He's passionate about reading through God's word. He's passionate about experiencing and obeying God's word. And it's one of the things that allows him to become incredibly confident in the shepherd that leads him forward. He's confident in the voice of God in his life. Why? Because he has immersed himself in God's word. He's become familiar with the voice. But if we're to be familiar with the voice, we must do the same. We must immerse ourselves in God's word. Listen to me. You cannot be confident in following the shepherd if you are not immersing yourself in God's word. And many of you who have been on this journey for a while, you know it. And right now, you have allowed your time in God's word to slip, and your confidence and security in the future is slipping as well. And you're saying, what's going on? What's going on is that you're becoming less attentive to the voice of God in your life. And as a result, it's leading you to an inability to discern the Spirit moving in your heart. You can count on it. You can bet on it. We understand this about voice. We understand how to become familiar with voice. We understand if you spend time away from the voice, your ability to be able to pick it out will suffer. It will begin to dissolve. The other day I had a conversation with a friend. We talk to each other every couple years. And it's interesting because we can have really long conversations with one another. But when I first get on the phone with him, I'm not able to pick his voice out right away. Because we only talk every couple years. Now, when we were in high school together, I could pick it out immediately. But I've lost that. Why? Because if you allow time to lapse between hearing the voice, your ability to discern it suffers. We want to live our lives in such a way that if Jesus were to come on the show, we could hit the button and our chair would flip immediately when we hear his voice. Some of you get that reference. Because we've become so familiar with it.
And the more that you fill your life with his word, the more confidence you'll gain in being able to discern whether it's you, whether it's your parents, whether it's your fear, or whether it's him. And the more you can discern it, the more confidence you'll gain and the more security you'll have in the future. Because here's the thing. I think for most of you, you trust that Jesus will lead you into a rich and satisfying life, but you're not taking the time to learn his voice. And so it's not him that you don't trust. It's your ability to discern him that you don't trust. And you're right, because you can't gain that discernment without the consistent exposure to his voice in your life. This is why our Bible reading plan is so important. This is why our Bible reading plan is so important here at Hoboken Grace. And if you're not signed up for it, you can sign up for it. Simply go to hobokengrace.com. Underneath resources, our Bible reading plan. It starts off just one chapter every weekday, and you'll be able to read through the New Testament every single year. Again, this is about consistency. It's not about quantity. It's about consistency. That consistent hearing of his voice. It's not that quantity's bad, but start with consistency, not quantity. If you start with quantity, you'll end up without consistency, and you'll actually end up with less quantity. Sometimes when I talk to people about our Bible reading plan here at Hoboken Grace, they say, I don't think that's enough. I think you should be reading more than one chapter every weekday. You need to be taking in more of God's word than that. My first question to them is always the same. Did you read through the New Testament last year? Only two people have ever answered that question with yes. Almost every time they say no. And I say, well, let's start there. How about we start there? And once we get that down, then we'll add to it. Some of you are there. You've been reading through the New Testament with us for a while. You need to add. You can add the book of Psalms, come alongside of it. You can add the book of Proverbs, come alongside of it. Maybe begin to read through and identify a couple books in the Old Testament that you're going to read alongside of consistently reading through the New Testament every year. But it begins with consistency. And what you'll find is that if you establish consistency, number one, you'll become far more alert to and far more aware of and discerning of God's voice in your life. And then two, you'll also find that you'll find a greater quantity than if you had initially tried or looked for quantity in the first place. And as you grow in that consistent exposure to God's word, your discernment in your life of where he's taking you and what he wants to do in your life will grow and grow and grow. This isn't something that's beyond us. And I want to make this really clear because for some of you, you've come into this and you said, this really isn't possible. And for some of you, because of the fact that you've struggled to experience with God in the past, you've just decided that this is impossible. Let me tell you something. I'm not the one who's coming to you saying that the Spirit of God is going to lead you into the future. Jesus is the one who comes to us and says, he specifically says, I have to go away so that I can send my spirit. I have to go away. Jesus says the reason why he's not here today is because he had something better in mind. What was that something better in mind? That his Holy Spirit, I'm going to send a companion and he is going to lead you into the future. He is going to remind you of what I've taught you. He is going to teach you how to be able to discern what is right and what's wrong. He's going to come, and it's better that you walk with him than that I walk with just a few of you. Don't miss out on this in your life. Jesus thought that this was so significant for you that he chose to leave in order to make this possible for you. But for many of us, because of the fact that we haven't experienced this before, we've given up on ever being able to experience this. We've given up on ever being able to live Psalm 23. And so we recite it and we say, that's nice, but it's not our reality. Jesus gave his life for Psalm 23 to be your life. Because you and I both know we need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. And Jesus said, I want to be that for you. I want to be that for you. You have to learn how to hear my voice, how to discern my voice. And that begins when we immerse ourselves in God's word and we become familiar with what he's spoken before so that we can gain confidence in what he's speaking today into your life and mine. May we not just recite Psalm 23. May we not just recite it. May we live it. May we live it. Because as he goes before us, we follow. Because we know his voice. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we walk through this, Father, I just pray that this would renew in us a passion for your word. Father, for so many of us, we've given up on reading through your word because we think that it's just about finding an answer. And for so many in this room, we've gone to your word trying to find that answer, but the reality is that those answers, so many of those answers are found in your spirit speaking into our lives. And Father, I just pray that this would renew our commitment to you and to your word, that we would come to it to learn your voice, that we would come to it to expose ourselves over and over and over again to your voice, which is not just active then, but is active today in our lives. That we might be able to follow you. Jesus, we want to know your voice. I know that your voice speaks into our lives. Jesus, we want to tune into that voice, to recognize it, and to follow it, because we trust you. Not just that you know the future, but we trust you about your purpose in our lives, that your purpose is to lead us into that future for which we were created, the future which is rich and satisfying. Jesus, I pray that you would continue to develop this in us. And we thank you over and over and over again. We thank you that you are our shepherd and we are your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen.